3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
Stocks in Asia dip after the latest tech crackdown in China.
Investors are definitely rattled. We've been seeing declines in Chinese tech companies for several weeks now, and this latest announcement prompted a fresh wave of selling.
Plus, what's behind the Secretary of State's trip to India? And despite the Delta variant of COVID-19, some bosses want you back now. It's Tuesday, July 27th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin with a court ruling out of Hong Kong. A 24-year-old man is the first person found guilty under a national security law imposed by Beijing last year. The man had been charged with inciting secession and terrorism after he collided with three police officers while riding a motorcycle during protests last July. He'd pleaded not guilty to the charges. It's a verdict that reaffirms new limits on speech in the city and could set a precedent for future trials under the law. After a year of silence, North Korea has reopened direct communication lines with South Korea. Tim Martin is the Journal's Korea bureau chief.
North Korea has finally popped out of the cave of slumber, diplomatically speaking. It's not really engaged with Seoul or Washington in recent years. But what happened today, North Korea, in basically a joint statement with the South Korean government, said they're restoring activity on this military hotline. Now, whether this rises above symbolism and into some type of substantive action remains to be seen. But North Korea has not really wanted to do anything with South Korea in many, many months.
The final victim of the Miami-area condo collapse has been identified, according to authorities. It brings the death toll to 98. The director of the Miami-Dade Police Department said workers will continue impounding and cataloging items found at the collapse site with the intention of returning as many as possible to survivors and family members of victims. And at the Tokyo Olympics, a shock exit for Japan's Naomi Osaka as the tennis star lost her third-round match in straight sets. And today, Simone Biles and her teammates will compete in the Artistic Gymnastics Women's Team Final as they look to defend the gold medal they won in Rio in 2016. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. On today's earnings calendar, tech giants Apple, Alphabet, and Microsoft all report quarterly results. We'll also hear from JetBlue, General Electric, and snack food maker Mondelez. China's tech sector is facing scrutiny. The main regulator is cracking down with a new campaign to reform how China's largest tech companies operate. Markets reporter Anna Hertenstein joins me from London to discuss further. Good morning.
Morning, Mark.
Anna, what are the issues catching the Chinese government's attention?
It's about anti-competitive practices and data security. China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology said this week that it was trying to correct a whole range of issues. Stuff like market order, users' rights, user data. And what does it actually mean? Like, one example is the blocking of website links, where one company will keep its competitors locked out of its tech ecosystem, creating these barriers.
What about market reaction to this?
Investors are definitely rattled. We've been seeing declines in Chinese tech companies for several weeks now, and this latest announcement prompted a fresh wave of selling. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Tech Index fell 6.6% yesterday, which is the worst performance for the benchmark since it was launched, and it's continuing to fall today. And just speaking to investors, they're saying things like the market is jittery, they don't know where this crackdown is headed, and instead of waiting to find out, a lot of them are selling out of their positions.
Anna Hertenstein, thank you for filling us in on this. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Just ahead, as the U.S. Secretary of State heads to India this week, a look at the relationship between the two nations after a quick break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is traveling to India this week with plans to meet with Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Blinken's visit to the Asian nation is part of a series of American efforts to strengthen ties with New Delhi. Back in February, President Biden spoke to the Prime Minister. Part of that phone conversation included regional security issues that revolve around China. Joining me now is WSJ Foreign Policy Editor Bob Orlean. Bob, good morning. Great to have you here.
Hi, Mark.
Bob, to start off, from what you've been able to gather, what is going to be on the agenda here from the American perspective?
As usual, the top issue for the Americans is going to be China. That's always an overriding concern and will be at this meeting, as it has been at past encounters with India. But there are other issues from the American perspective. The two countries are going to be discussing the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, the progress against the COVID pandemic. And then the U.S. has concerns about the human rights situation in India, as well as India's procurement of weapon systems from Russia.
So that's the view from the U.S. side. What about from India? What are the priorities from the Indian government's perspective?
Well, India is interested in a solid relationship, economic and security relationship with the U.S. Lately, the Indian government has been concerned about what the U.S. is doing in Afghanistan. The U.S. troop withdrawal ordered by President Biden is a concern to the Indians who are worried about the stability situation in the region, particularly in Afghanistan. The U.S. withdrawal from the country tends to heighten that concern from the standpoint of what's going on in Afghanistan? Will the Taliban increase their control? What's going to be happening in neighboring Pakistan, where there's a very tense relationship between India and Pakistan? So all these things are of a concern to India, and they're going to want to be talking about that.
Bob, let's delve into some of these broader issues just a little bit further, specifically about China. Why is the U.S. concerned about India's relationship with China?
India is a big economic player in the region, as well as a big security player in the region. So the U.S. wants to make sure that India is economically in the Western orbit than it is toward China, which tends to make it easy for countries to line up with them. And it wants to make sure that India remains more aligned in a security approach, too. Now, the big fight last year between India and China along the border that resulted in the deaths of Indian soldiers has provided the U.S. with sort of an in here. And they have been trying to, you know, see what opportunities that affords for more closely aligning with India. And then the larger concern about China is that it is trying to gain some economic sway over countries in the region and trying to gain more of a military toehold across the South China Sea and elsewhere where it can assert its territorial claims.
You briefly mentioned Afghanistan. As we know, the stability of Afghanistan is at stake as U.S. and NATO troops are set to pull out at the end of next month. What would India like to see happen here?
Well, India is concerned about the pullout and the effect it's going to have on stability. The absence of U.S. troops allows more movement between Pakistan and Afghanistan and allows other sort of routes for militant groups in the area to move around. Pakistan houses militant groups that are problematic for the U.S. in Afghanistan and problematic for the Afghans in Afghanistan, as well as problematic for the Indians, particularly in Kashmir, where there are some militant groups that sort of engage in jihad. So it's just concerned that by taking the lid off of things, that all of this will sort of like go untethered on them and they'll be more susceptible to attacks and whatever. The memories of Mumbai in 2008 and elsewhere are still very fresh, and it's difficult for them to leave that behind.
And finally, Bob, all of this is taking place against the backdrop of the pandemic. India is a country that has been ravaged by the Delta variant. How does that play into the talks?
Well, India early on in the pandemic helped the U.S. It sent a lot of PPE our way. It sort of made its technology available to not just the U.S., but a lot of the world in that region. And then later on, as the pandemic sort of went through its various phases over these last several months, India was hit very hard with a spike in case outbreaks, and the U.S. reciprocated. Now, they sort of see themselves now as in this together. And it's sort of like as two of the world's largest democracies, they feel an obligation to sort of, you know, lock arms and try to do something about this.
WSJ Foreign Policy Editor Bob Orlean. Bob, thanks again for being here.
Great being with you.
And finally, after 16 months of remote work, many CEOs have had enough. Bosses across the country are calling workers back to the office despite uncertainty over the Delta variant of COVID-19. The WSJ's Chip Cutter covers workplace issues, and he has more.
Well, many CEOs say that it's hard to define, but that they feel that projects have taken longer, that their companies just do okay in the remote and hybrid era, but they do even better when people are back in person. One example of this is the regional bank Fifth Third. The company had a big project over the past couple of months. It's a new checking product they're putting together. And one of the executives of the company told me that they felt like it was going okay, but at some point there were 30 people on Zoom calls, everyone from bankers and marketers and all sorts of different folks. And they said it just became difficult to manage. But when people were back in the office, the company said it made more progress in weeks than it had in months, just feeling that it really benefited from people being together like that.
And that's what's news for Tuesday. We're back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please let us know by a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.